Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've been talking about the subject for the last week, you know. Obviously, you know, on Sunday we got the news. The deal went down after the game, and we were at the airport, and then we have to, you know, get Rafi, talk to him, and let him know what happened. So, but there's been conversations, and there's something that it happens in every organization, right? As far as like the communication part of it, you know everything. And then they kept me in the loop with what was going on, and we decided to make the move on Sunday.
That was Alex Cora yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. They come your way 90 minutes from now at 2 o'clock. If you missed any of the Cora interview, check it out. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen live there to the hashtag Dork Minute about 15 minutes from now.
Nice.
Rich Keefe will give you an overview of what is it specifically? What's coming up?
A lot of news and notes.
On streaming, movies, yeah, TV, all kinds of it.
Movie, TV news.
Nice.
A whole bunch.
That's in the
A real potpourri.
The Dork Minute.
That's right.
About 15 minutes from now. I will say, just listening to that for the second time today, Cora echoed some of what Sam Kennedy said in his introductory statement when they did their press conference, or Zoom call rather, the other night. It all happened in the last week. I do think like the real impetus and decision to trade Rafael Devers was when Henry went to Kansas City,
100%.
Got on the flight, and Devers said, "I'm not doing it." And Henry said, "We're trading this guy." But I think the real reason to pick up the pace and the tempo correlates almost, right down to the minute, to Sunday Night Baseball when he didn't hustle it out to first base. Kennedy said it was a week ago. Cora said it happened over a week, Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really where the clubhouse and even Cora was probably like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
If the guy's not hustling, even I can't do this anymore. And I wonder if that's when officially everybody got on board. They turned it into hyperdrive. They stopped warring with the Giants over, yeah, we want Eldridge. And the Giants said, well, we'll give you Eldridge, but we're not going to eat the whole contract.
I'm telling you, Henry didn't want to pay me.
We're going to eat the whole contract. Here's what it is. Go for it. And finally, the Red Sox said, he's not hustling. Fine. We'll take the offer. We're not going to hold out for your top prospect. We'll take the offer because we can't with this guy.
And it also could have been even worse inside the clubhouse, right? Like, so, because we saw him on the field. So that's one thing that we can see. And there was the time that he didn't, haul ass all the way down to first base. So you could point to that. But maybe some of these reports about he was mad at Christian Campbell for being willing to play first base, maybe some of the other stuff just got kind of out of hand in there too. And they're like, all right, this is bad, because Kennedy and Breslow, for as many jokes as we made about the Zoom thing and how awkward it was, they did many times in a bunch of different ways and from their answers talk about like the importance of the young guys and providing like the right environment for them to succeed.
Yeah.
So it's like he wasn't it. Like he was not only was he not helping the young guys, they felt like he was actively hurting the young guys.
Yeah. And Cora didn't deny that, by the way. This is in his pregame interview.
And none of the players are upset that he's gone.
No.
Like, what does that tell you?
Doesn't seem like it. So, Cora, I heard actually Papelbon talking about this. Was Papelbon, where was this? I think it was on Fell Territory.
Okay.
And he said something like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, yeah, I heard Breslow was asked if he wanted to address the team, and the team's like, no, we're good, which I initially was like, oh, God, they don't even want to hear from Breslow.
No, they're like, we don't need an answer.
They're like, we don't.
We know the answer.
We get it.
Right.
We get why you wanted this guy gone.
Yeah, that's pretty telling.
So, look, they probably didn't want to hear from Robo Breslow either.
Yeah,
I mean, I get that. But
no, but if they were really pissed, they might be like, all right, let's see what this guy says. And exactly. Be like, all right, let's see how this goes. And then call him an effing stiff when he leaves or whatever. But no, they're like, we got it. Good, he's gone. Let's move forward.
So, you know, I think, I'll tell you, Cora again didn't deny the Campbell thing. He quibbled with whether or not, he latched on to whether or not Campbell volunteered.
He's like,
when he was asked about it. And he's like, oh, the first I heard about it was in that report this morning, meaning yesterday. But he didn't really address whether or not Devers was happy about Campbell or was upset with Campbell for volunteering and or being asked to go to first base. He didn't really address that part of it, which I think also was telling. He ignored what really is the key question. Was Devers undermining his teammates and specifically his young teammates? So you can weigh in on this. 617-779-7937. Mark is in Norwood. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, great show, guys. So that Zoom thing just absolutely drove me insane the other day. I mean, I don't know which one of those clowns up there was talking about touting their record over the last 24 years.
That was Kennedy. And that's what it's. So, Breslow's right, only been here a year and a half. It was Kennedy.
All right. So that sort of fits into my feeling on this Devers thing is it's a salary dump, which kind of fits into what purpose of my call was what the Red Sox had great success until they changed their business model. When their business model was playing high-priced talent and winning championships, great. But since Betts, the business model changed, and you can't really argue that, to get rid of high-priced players.
I don't argue it. I haven't argued it. In fact, I was one of the few arguing it when they fired Dombrowski. I'm like, this is stupid. I would not fire Dombrowski. People were crying about trading away all the prospects, and there's nobody in the farm system, and Dombrowski ruined the future of the franchise. And people defend a lot of fans. This is not revisionist history. I used to argue with callers all the time about whether or not moving on from Dombrowski was the right thing going forward. They changed their business model totally.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they flipped it.
But I reject that this was purely a salary dump. John Henry definitely didn't want to pay the contract. But you're telling me if Devers was a good teammate and they were winning the AL East, they'd trade him?
No. If they were winning, if he was playing first base,
of course
or
not.
If Tristan Casas never got hurt, or if Bregman never got hurt, he would still be on the team. They could have traded him in the offseason.
So
it probably came down to, you know, I think Devers was already pissed. And I don't know if he ever demanded a trade or was just like, maybe I should go somewhere else, because there was some of that talk too.
I bet he told his agent he wanted trade. And his agent told Henry
let's see how this goes.
Breslow or whomever.
But then he's DH and gets off to that really slow series, and then he ends up turning it around and he's back to like his old ways. But I could also see in that conversation, which probably ended up being more of like an airing of grievances in Kansas City, Henry either straight up to Devers or even the immediate aftermath is like, you're either playing first base or we're trading you.
Yep.
And Devers is like, go ahead and trade me. I don't know if it came down exactly that way, but I feel like that was the end result.
No, and you're right. That would be another way. It's not really a demand.
It's not a demand.
You were given an ultimatum, and you picked.
And you chose.
So, yeah, I believe that's when it ratcheted up. Yeah. I think they were officially done with him on Sunday Night Baseball when he wouldn't leg it out to first
base. But I don't understand people that are like,
it's just a salary dump.
Because then you would have traded him a while ago. So, you have had buyer's remorse right away. You would have looked to trade him last year at the deadline. You would have traded him certainly last. The second you inked Alex Bregman, you would have traded him. And then you can't be like, well, they were looking for the biggest return.
Wrong.
Because they weren't. They didn't get the biggest return here. So if it was just a salary dump, they would have dumped him in the spring.
Bingo. They traded him. And once they decided they were trading him, they said, we don't want to eat any of the salaries. So saving money was definitely somewhere on the list. It always is with John Henry. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't the driving force behind it. If they were winning the division, they wouldn't trade him, right? So it's not just about trading his salary. It's about the team underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Devers' impact on the team and why they've underperformed. And again, never forget what Devers is actually upset about. He can blame the communication all he wants. What he's actually upset about, what he's actually angry about, is they signed a better player than him, a better leader than him, a better winner, a better teammate, and Alex Bregman. That's what he's actually upset about and could never, ever get past. You can blame the communication and the messaging all you want, and it wasn't perfect. Even Robo Breslow, has admitted it wasn't perfect. But that's what he's actually mad about. They signed a guy who's better than him, better winner, better teammate, better leader.
And clearly,
he can't get past it.
And clearly, like, in the locker room, it hit a tipping point because they were on a winning streak. They had just swept the Yankees. They had dug themselves out of a, being sub-500 for so long. The trade deadline is not for another month and a half. So you could have waited till either a losing streak. You could have waited to the deadline. I'm sure the same deal probably would have been there from the Giants.
I like Harrison more than I think even Dave Fleming.
Great.
But I'm telling you, this deal would have been there
but they were
a
like,
month from now.
We got to move on.
It would have been there in the offseason. I'm sure it was there in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been there for them. Real quick, though, people within baseball tell Buster Olney.
Well.
What?
I don't know about this.
They tell Buster Olney that the Red Sox actually did pretty well on this trade. You ready for it?
Wasn't there also somebody in baseball that said this was the Luka Doncic trade?
Somebody said that to June Lee. It was Alex Cora. The fans' protest of the Devers deal largely diverged from the industry view. By the way, I think Olney's getting a lot of his stuff from Cora, too. They used to work together at ESPN.
Sense.
Like, there's a lot of ripping of Breslow in this story. Not a lot of ripping of Cora. Minor ripping of Cora, but not a lot. So I think Cora's a source for a lot. Almost, I don't want to say all of it. A majority of the Breslow ripping, I bet it's coming from Cora. That doesn't make it wrong. I'm just telling you that's where it's leaking from. A lot of rival officials thought the Red Sox did well, ridding themselves of a one-dimensional star with an expensive contract who refused layers of requests of change, received four players from the Giants in return, including talented lefty Kyle Harrison. Quote, WTF were the Giants doing taking on that whole contract? One executive asked rhetorically via text. He said, oh my God, that deal won't end well. So that's more about the contract.
Yeah.
Another executive said he thought on a scale of 10, with 10 being terrible, management's handling of the Devers situation was a 6, so not good. He also said they made mistakes, but Devers' handling of it was a 10 out of 10 in how bad it was. Regardless of Devers' handling of the situation, Olney continues, it's clear the Red Sox have some work to do filling the role that he leaves. Red Sox did well in this trade for the long term, one exec said, but they're going to miss him. You're not going to replace a hitter like Rafael Devers.
No, and certainly didn't last night when they belted out two hits.
Devers
lineup
had
is out. Lineup is out.
Yeah, you want the lineup,
I
Jones?
Do, actually.
You want the lineup?
Oh, nice.
All right, so Jaron Duran's going to lead off in left field. Nice. Abraham Toro at first base will bat second.
Okay.
Roman Anthony hitting 080, which, again, let the record show. I'm fine with it. Keep playing him. Keep hitting him.
People
are like, oh, if he comes up and stinks, you guys are going to want him down. No,
I don't
I
want
him up.
I don't want
time.
Him down. I just, if he's going to be here, I would like him to hit more than 80. I don't really. What are we arguing about? We all want him to hit higher than 80?
I'd like him to hit higher.
That's
than
That's all
80.
We're saying.
Do you want him to hit him third in the order? All right,
right.
Romy Gonzalez, your DH tonight, batting fourth.
The lefty on the bump?
No, it is not.
Oh boy,
I don't think so. Right, Castillo tonight. Yeah, or this afternoon.
That's Castillo.
Okay. All right, Marcelo Meyer batting fifth at third base. Trevor Story, David Hamilton. Getting a lot of run.
Boy, jeez.
Christian Campbell in center field and Connor Wong behind the plate.
So Red Sox team under, can you, like, negative runs?
Yeah, Garrett Crochet is going to have to toss a shutout.
Complete game shutout.
It's a big start for Crochet, but he can do, again, I'm not worried about him going against the Mariners. I was worried, stupidly, going against the Yankees, and if he can handle the rivalry, I'm not worried about him against the Mariners, despite struggling to start number one with you and I, among others, in the building.
Yeah.
When he got lit up by his standards.
David Hamilton's playing too much.
Well, so look.
Let the record show.
Right.
Knock
now,
it off.
Right.
If only they had Devers.
Well.
Bregman even. I'll take Bregman.
But hang on. Bregman. Yeah. Well, Bregman, Abreu, like, when those guys come back, the lineup. They're,
or then, even Rafaela.
Then
like,
we should be done.
A day here.
Fine. Well, we should be done with the David Hamiltons of the world.
Seriously.
When those
Abreu,
guys are back.
Outside of his hot start, was hitting like 180 in the last
month. When's Abreu back?
Okay. Devers was hitting 200. Devers
series.
Was hitting 200 this month.
Okay.
If you wanted to go ahead and take out his May, if we're taking out Abreu's April, we should take out Devers' May. I don't know. Devers wasn't exactly hitting in the last month before he went to the Giants.
Will Yoshida save the season?
When can they even activate him?
End of July.
Okay. And so I don't know. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll also get to how the Red Sox conduct their interviews, which is even I, as apparently the biggest Breslow defender there is, even I can't defend that one. Plus,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The show starts in one.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi.
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
I don't like comic book movies. I'm an old man.
Yes. Right.
You ever see the movie Dirk Diggler?
I did a movie with George Muir's head.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, Dork Minute. Here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. I got some stuff. I got some movie and TV news.
Great.
Including one review. Quick review.
Oh.
The Better Sister on Amazon Prime. It was one of the most watched things over the last several weeks on the streaming services, starring Jessica Biel and Elizabeth Banks.
Nice.
Nice.
Real nice.
So I don't know if this matters to anybody. Jessica Biel can't act.
I overheard Courtney's like, I got a show suggestion.
Yeah.
She suggested this to you. Like, I've seen it. And I heard you. I believe the direct quote you gave to Courtney was, can't act her way out of a paper bag.
I don't think she can.
Is what I heard.
And I'm like, maybe her character is completely emotionless. Possible.
Uh-huh.
But, like, there's one scene where she has to, like, raise her voice. And you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. What have you done?
They should dub her.
Like, listen,
I know you're not a fan of the dubbed version.
No, I wouldn't dub her.
You should dub her.
Oh, she looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
But it's like, this ain't Seventh Heaven. Like, you're trying to keep up with some big-time actors and actresses in this show.
This isn't...
Matthew Modine is in this?
What's the Chuck and Larry movie, Billy? I guarantee you've seen that.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Yeah, she was in that.
Have you seen Dirk Diggler? The movie Dirk Diggler?
I was right around it.
Was she also in the Texas Chainsaw remake?
Yes. And she was good in that.
Yeah, she actually was good in that.
I thought she was
just
great.
Just chase her around with Leatherface, and I guess she can act.
That was 22 years ago. Yeah.
I think that came out in like 03. That was or whatever. That was a while ago. But yeah, this one, really not that great. On my dork scale of 6, I'd give it like a 3.5. It was not that good of a show.
Oh, that's if it's not a good show, a 3.5 is much higher than I thought you were going to grade
it. So I'm an easy grader.
You are an easy grader.
Also, I did watch all 8 episodes. Like, I didn't bail on it.
Right.
It was a whodunit. I wanted to know whodunit.
Sick brag, bro.
You're a completionist.
I am a completionist. Famously, I am a completionist. And so I watched the whole thing. But comparing it to some of the other shows, like, I thought the John Hamm show on Apple Plus, Your Friends and Neighbors, was like slightly better.
Oh, okay.
But like, still neither one were great. I was a little disappointed in the show altogether.
All right, so don't watch it.
A new trailer today for Deliver Me From Nowhere. This is the Jeremy Allen White movie where he is going to play Bruce Springsteen. It comes out on October 24th. Two questions. Mm-hmm. Are you in on Bruce Springsteen?
Like as an artist or a movie?
No, artist.
Mean, honestly, I'm pretty out on both, to be honest. I'm not the biggest Bruce guy, and I'm not into watching... I mean, look, we like Chalamet, Bob Dylan, but I'm not really into watching that level of biopic, no.
What about just biopics in general?
Nah.
I feel like...
Is there controversy? Like, is there controversy? Then maybe, but like...
The Bob Dylan one, there was zero controversy.
Yeah, it's just the guy...
It's like, all right, he's got good songs.
He plugged in. His voice is weird, but he writes well.
You're like,
he played electric music.
It's like, all right.
He's not playing folk music at the folk band.
I need a little more controversial topics than that. I'm not out on biopic, but like, what is it with Springsteen?
So there was like Walk the Line, right? The Johnny Cash one was good.
That I liked. He was a mess.
You know what was pretty good? It was Rocket Man.
Didn't see it.
Taron Egerton played Elton John.
Yep. I'm aware of it. Didn't see it.
It was good. Bohemian Rhapsody,
garbage. People said it was terrible.
Was terrible.
But that seems like that's a good subject for one of these.
It is.
But so like, why was it so bad? I didn't watch it.
It was
8 days long.
But Rami Malek also won the Oscar, which is why. So he won the Oscar, didn't actually sing the songs as Freddie Mercury.
Oh,
Taron Egerton didn't even get nominated, and he sang the Elton John songs.
Well, I mean, he does a million Elton John songs in the Sing movies as well. So, yeah, he can sing. Yeah.
But Jeremy Allen White, good, famously from The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in The Iron Claw. But so we'll see how he does with Bruce Springsteen. Also, these movies have done they've missed the chance to make them all a shared universe. So the Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie, they had Johnny Cash in the movie, but they didn't have Joaquin Phoenix Johnny Cash.
I see. So they should
have blended them all together.
Interesting.
I like a shared universe.
Now, here's a bit of you do. He's a bit of an odd duck, though. Does he not want it? Did he not want to do it?
Joaquin?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe he turned it down. I have no idea.
All right.
But anyway, so you can see the movie about the boss. As for Jeremy Allen White, The Bear,
yeah.
Season 4,
nice.
Comes out next Wednesday.
All 8 are dropping at once, right?
10,
I'm sorry. The whole season is dropping at once.
And they're all about a half hour. I saw somebody tweeted out the run times earlier. There is one episode that's over an hour.
Oh,
69 minutes.
Okay.
Nice.
Real nice.
So that's probably going to be like the real like crazy. Maybe a flashback again.
Fishes? That was an hour plus, right? Was that the name of it?
I think Fishes was the
one. Is that what it's called? Something like
the
that.
The Christmas
yeah.
one?
Yeah, where they had all the cameos.
That was a great episode.
It was a great episode. So maybe I shouldn't be so anti an hour plus episode.
There's a new Harold and Kumar movie in the works.
Nice.
You on that? Bill, you on that?
I mean, I'll probably see it.
Yeah, I didn't
even know what was happening.
Is this a
Billy comedy over here? He's going to see this.
Is this the third?
Christmas one was meh.
Is this the third?
The first one was awesome. The first one was amazing.
This would be the third?
I saw the first, which was amazing.
This is the fourth.
The fourth?
Because they had the original, they had Guantanamo Bay, they had the Christmas one, and now this one.
There you go. The best was how they marketed
it. I know you mocked him, Billy comedy, but he's Billy comedy.
I'm not mocking at all.
I am mocking.
Should be his nickname.
Yeah.
I love when they first marketed the first one. They're like the guy in the background from American Pie and the other guy from Van Wilder. They're together.
And you're like, yes, I'll see this. I like those guys.
This came out a couple days ago. There's going to be Spaceballs 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Moranis coming out of retirement for Spaceballs.
He's Dark Helmet?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, he hasn't
been. I don't know if he's playing a different role. I don't know.
Rick Moranis famously retired.
Yeah.
He took his talents and was like, I'm done with acting.
Well, he shrunk his kids. I think he was probably
huge
very...
Huge mistake.
Yeah, he was very self-conscious.
Then he blew him back up.
Yeah, that's true.
Then he shrunk himself.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, good point.
Then he got punched out on the streets of New York during COVID. It was like, we are, as a society, failed.
I kind of forgot about it.
Remember, he was in the news randomly for getting like knocked out.
Sure.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But he's back for Spaceballs, too. We're all excited about it. Also, LeBron James, my guy.
Yep. The show's goat.
LeBron James.
He said he'd be interested in acting after his basketball career.
Good.
Do you think he might get into
Space Jam 2 was awesome.
He's like,
Space Jam
1.
Any takers?
You guys want me in your film?
I'll do it.
No, LeBron.
Okay.
He was in that, was it the Bill Hader movie?
Yes.
What movie was he in?
What was it?
I think it was Trainwreck with Amy
Schumer. Yeah, that's right. I wanted to say Bridesmaids. That's what it was. That's 100% what it was.
Though.
Yeah.
He did play LeBron James.
Yeah, but he's funny. He was funny in that.
Who was better, LeBron James as LeBron James in Trainwreck or Kevin Garnett as Kevin Garnett in Uncut Gems? The answer is Kevin Garnett.
I didn't see it.
The answer is Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Glenn Powell is going to make a movie where he's a firefighter, and it's directed by Ron Howard. You know that? Glenn Powell, firefighter? Maybe.
Well, did Ron Howard direct Backdraft?
Good question.
Backdraft was a blockbuster back in the day.
Backdraft
was a
absolute heater.
That movie's going to make so much money opening weekend.
Backdraft was actually, you're right, Bill. Good call. So will this just be like a reboot?
Comedy and drama.
Billy movies.
That's like an action thriller.
Billy flicks.
Look at that cast, though, for Backdraft was awesome.
Oh, my God. Kurt Russell, Billy Baldwin, Scott Glenn, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Rebecca De Mornay, Donald Sutherland, Robert De Niro.
Okay, well, so it's starting to pick up. I was going to say, it's like with Billy Baldwin's too.
Dude, Billy Baldwin.
I can't believe Keith can read the screen from back there.
Good boy.
I got the font jacked up.
He's getting there.
Jacked up over here. But maybe Glenn Powell pops the top a little bit, puts out a couple fires. I'd watch that.
Well, not bad. Sure. That sounds like a movie.
And then this weekend, and really in most theaters, starting tomorrow night, you'll get 28 Years Later, the third in that horror franchise.
Too scary, these
commercials. And Elio.
Oh.
The Disney original. Where he goes to space.
I thought it was a pizza movie.
Yeah, like, I'll watch that.
I have seen the ads for that. That's they're throwing a lot of that in your face. Not well reviewed?
Good early reviews.
Oh, good reviews.
84% on Roddy T's.
Nice.
So, yeah, people are liking this. So, anyway, there you go. There's your Dork Minute.
Okay.
Yep.
Good stuff in the hashtag Dork Minute. We do it from time to time here on Jones and Keefe. You can listen to the hashtag Dork podcast everywhere, Keefe. Find that everywhere, including on the Odyssey app.
Good tweet by Matt Jensen on Twitter.
What's that now?
LeBron James has been acting literally his entire life. He's a great actor. He is.
Nailed that.
He
has read The Godfather 100 times.
I watched Space Jam 2.
What's your favorite part of The Godfather?
Too many.
I don't know. Too many.
Too many parts to count.
Give us one specific thing about it.
Nah, I can't.
Couldn't do that.
Not going to do that for you.
Space Jam 2. I watched it. Not my favorite.
I think it won like all the Razzies.
Did it?
It was the worst everything.
Cleaned up.
He won everything.
First Space Jam. Pretty good.
Great.
Second one,
terrible.
Mm.
Didn't actually see it.
You didn't see it.
I'm not going to support LeBron.
You can't really speak to it, then.
Not doing
it.
It
is really what you can't do.
But it won all the Razzies.
Okay.
That kind of tells you it's the worst.
Well, but you haven't seen it.
Well.
I would like.
The quality of a 20-year-later sequel.
Yeah. like Harold and Kumar 4.
Yeah, that's IP. that's good IP right there that he's screwing up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.